The blue wire, Chuck. No, cut the blue wire.
I'm colorblind. I can't cut the blue wire.
Why are you a bomb expert if you're colorblind?
Technorama episode 398 for February 12, 2014. Three beans do not a pie make.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now,
the news.
Tech. What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I'm in a hurry. I just need to pick up some atoms and split.
Over there, in the media corner.
I'm going fishing.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for February 12, 2014. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. Oh boy, you can tell it's going to be one of those shows just by the starting. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm good. We're bracing ourselves now for more winter weather. I'm sure you want to hear about that.
I'm tired of winter. I really am. If it's not cold, it's snowing. If it's not snowing, it's cold. Actually, I found out this year and last year are in a dead heat at this time of the year for the amount
of
snow. No
pun intended.
No, there is no heat. It's dead heat. But the temperatures, I swear, we've had more days below zero than I can ever remember.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's just nuts. The snow amount isn't too bad, but just the cold is starting to drag.
Yeah, we got some wintry mix or whatever coming up this week. So,
I'm sure. Lovely travel story from last week. I went to a customer site, and when I flew in Tuesday night, they said, oh, there's a storm coming Wednesday. I'm like, oh, so I came out to Connecticut to hopefully maybe not do a two-day workshop and one of the days will get snowed out. It was just nuts. I drove 10 miles at 6 a.m. I drove 10 miles in 4-inch snow down I-91. Terrible, terrible weather. The northbound lane was completely backed up. But southbound was moving at about 30 miles an hour, maybe 40. And finally I had to go pick up some printed materials before I went over to the customer's site. So I picked them up at the FedEx office. And two blocks away from the FedEx office, the customer calls and says, oh, we're not opening until 11 today. And no, but we're going to start the workshop at 9. Can you do it remotely via WebEx? Like, I'm doing an 8-hour workshop via WebEx. So I get to the FedEx office. And I said, do you have any office space I can rent? They said, yeah, we got some cubes around the corner. Free Wi-Fi. I said, I'm working here today. It was terrible weather. They literally saved my life. I did not know they had this service, and I'm glad they did.
That is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. It was wonderful. Anyway, you saw a movie.
Yeah, I saw a movie. Actually, I saw several this week. No, I saw the Lego movie.
How was it?
It was so much fun. It was crazy. Lego, they have some movies that are Lego themed where the characters look like Legos, but this was a Lego movie with real looking Lego pieces. And of course they spanned across every theme that they've had, you know, like the medieval with the castles and to the city stuff, to cops and
superheroes
superheroes, everything. So, and everything was fair game. Oh, Star Wars got a little bit of that in there. So it was great. Actually, we had a good time. There were a lot of things, like I was telling you earlier, that things I've noticed, you know, about Legos over the years, but I didn't realize it was as universal enough to make a joke about it in the movie. But yeah, there's plenty of that. And it was great. It was great. Everybody had a good time. Especially me and Harrison. As a matter of fact, I think he dug out his Legos a little bit this afternoon, built putting some stuff together.
There was a lot of good stuff.
Batman was funny.
It looked pretty funny. Based on the trailer that I saw, it looked like there was some good humor in there.
Yes, it was. I can definitely highly recommend it. Even if you're not really taking a kid, I think any Lego, self-respecting Lego geek would enjoy it.
You don't even have to be a self-respecting. You can be totally disrespectful.
Yeah, you don't have to respect yourself at all. Just go.
And nobody may respect you. So go see the movie, apparently.
Yes, very good.
Thumbs up.
Oh, two. I'll give it two.
Two, but both of them. Unless you're,
yeah, I got two of them.
Only have one hand. Coming up in this episode, we have the Back to the Future sing-along.
Really?
Star Trek predictions, and also predictions from the Jetsons. All that and more coming up right after this.
These are... 101 unsigned integer. Technorama, 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 Technorama. Technorama, Chuck and Craig, 101 high five.
The Technorama, the Technorama, you make me be sedated. The Technorama, the
Technorama, he's Technorama, 101, 101, 101.
This is Ronald D. Moore from Battlestar Galactica, and you're listening to Technorama.
Thirteen, ninety-seven, six, forty-five, 13, 12. You know, we should have a number station podcast. Wouldn't that be just excruciatingly painfully boring?
Today's numbers are.
No, just read off numbers and people wonder what they are.
Sure.
They're messages that might be for someone who has the secret key, if there is a secret key. But then we'd sound like Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd giving the super secret code.
Yeah, that's right. All right, boys and girls, tune your watches to B3.
We could make a Pebble app for that.
Yeah.
A decoder ring app on the watch. We have feedback. We have listener feedback. Of course, more facts about things we didn't quite have facty enough. So they didn't say who this is from, but we appreciate it. Let's see if we can get this.
Hey, Technorama.
Hi.
That, Star Wars comic that Craig mentioned on the last episode. The one based on the original first draft script. That's actually called The Star Wars.
Cool.
Oh, did I missay it?
I think you were looking for the... Knowing us, we might have called it Star Trek.
The Star Trek. Yeah, it's called The Star Wars. I enjoyed it. I hope everybody else did. I think there were several issues, and I realized that they were all out. I got to go get the last few couple.
Wagon train to the stars.
Mm-hmm. Hey, oh, by the way.
Yes.
By the way, and maybe I should just talk about this in the geek library, but you know, the Star Trek Continues and the Star Trek Phase 2.
Yeah.
You know, two different things. One of them, let's see, the Star Trek Continues just had an episode come out, which has the guy that looks, I think, like a lot like Kirk and acts like him, called Leilani. And the Star Trek Phase 2 has another episode coming out, which has the guy, James Cowley, but they're replacing him. Somebody else is playing Kirk. His project starts a new episode comes out on Valentine's. So be sure to go look that up.
Shortly after this show comes out. So we just wanted to get the jump on him in case there was any competition for bandwidth.
That's right. Yeah. Don't want that.
Time for the history. On this day in history for February 12, 2014, this is the 43rd day of the year. There are 322 days remaining in 2014. It was on this date in 1851 that Edward Hargreaves announces that he has found gold in Bathurst, New South Wales, Australia, starting the Australian Gold Rush.
There's gold in our hills. And it was that same date in 1909, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People is founded.
In Washington, D.C., the first stone of the Lincoln Memorial is put in place today, 100 years ago. Wow. I thought it would have been longer ago than that.
Hey, and there's pictures of it on the internet. It's pretty cool. And a meteor creates an impact crater called the Skjoldete Island in the Soviet Union in the state in 1947.
53 years ago today, Soviet Union launches Venera 1 towards Venus.
And February 12, 1963, construction begins on the Gateway Arch in St. Louis.
Wow, that seems older than that too, but okay.
Yeah.
And it was on this date in 2001 that the Near Shoemaker spacecraft touches down in the Saddle region of 433 Eros, becoming the first spacecraft to land on an asteroid. Oh, what a pain in the asteroid. Happy birthday goes out on this date to French chemist Bernard Courtois, born on this date in 1777.
And also born on this date in 1785, French physicist Pierre-Louis Dulong.
Wow, I thought you'd screw that up for sure, but you did pretty good.
Gotcha. I got
Heinrich Lenz, the German physicist, was born today in 1804.
And happy 205th birthday to English scientist and theorist Charles Darwin.
You did very nice on that name, too.
Yes, thank you.
American lawyer and politician, 16th president of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, was also born in the state in 1809.
And co-founder of Renault, Louis Renault, was born on February 12th, 1877.
There's a Trivial Pursuit question. Who was the other guy?
Yeah, who knows?
American-Canadian science fiction author Donald Kingsbury turns 85 today.
And Ray Kurzweil, American engineer and author, Ray Kurzweil is 66. I said his name twice.
He's so important you mentioned it twice.
Yeah.
And finally, actor and talk show host Arsenio Hall turns 58. And don't forget, it's Darwin Day. That doesn't mean go out and try and win a Darwin Award. But no, hey, if you want, knock yourself out. I hear the band. Yep, they're firing up. They're getting ready to leave. That means that's the way it was on this day in history for February 12, 2014.
Hey, it's Darwin Day. Go out and make some evolution.
Talking about your evolution. Well, you know. No.
Number nine.
Let's look at the birthday calendar since Charles forgot to pull those up today.
I'm looking.
Chuckchat.com/wiki is where you
That's
go.
That's funny. It's underlined in the show notes, but it's not a link.
What kind of cruel joke is that?
Yeah, I know.
We should fix that in the template. It is February 12th. Looking ahead, we would go all the way to the 19th, which would start next week's, right?
Yes.
So, Douglas E. Welch on Valentine's Day from the Career Opportunities Podcast.
Oh, he's a love baby. Oh,
he's a. I guess he can never really forget that, can he? Which would mean we need a. There, we mentioned a podcast. Andrew, the new VP in Illinois, is also on the 14th. Well, who's the old VP?
Yeah, right.
And is he still the VP or is he the SVP now or EVP?
He was promoted.
Or EMP.
EMP.
Philip from Australia, whom we haven't heard from in decades, is February 15th. I did November last time, didn't I, too? I kind of slipped up with that.
Did he ever make it back from looking for that that big podcast in the...
I don't know. He's probably still going to Ontario, California every fall.
No, it's been moved to Canada.
Where is everybody? And finally, February 18th, Roy Insalaco from Central Village, Connecticut. Hey, didn't I just say Connecticut last week? Ray? Mm-hmm. I may have said Roy. It's Ray. Sorry. Ray, I was out there for the snowstorm last Wednesday. It wasn't any fun. Next week, we have Scooter in Connecticut, but I'm jumping ahead of myself. Let's go back to the show notes. Happy birthday to all of you. And if it is your birthday this week and you're not in the show notes, happy birthday anyway.
Just you're not in the show notes.
This is an opt out. You have to opt. No, you have to opt in.
Everybody's birthday on the planet.
We're going to wish you a happy birthday until you put your name in the wiki with the words opt out.
Opt out.
and then we're going to call you out anyway.
That's right.
Where's my Hacks and Strange Stories music? There it is. Hacks and Strange Stories! Why don't we really get these things all on one screen? I should probably redo this soundboard app once in a while.
Oh, they're all over the place?
Yeah, happy birthday, and we already mentioned the link. Craig already corrected it. Go to chuckchat.com/wiki in case you've been clicking on the show notes for the last 4 years going, why isn't this link working? That would be our practical joke on you. Just like my practical joke on the Facebook 10-year anniversary thing. Did you see that? Everybody's putting up their little movies about, here's my movie.
Yeah, what did you do?
I put up a still JPEG with a little circle and the triangle. So it says,
I can't click it.
Here's my Facebook movie. And people, and then my comment to myself was, made you click.
That's funny. Nice.
And one of my former coworkers, she made a comment, said, madest thou clicketh. And I laughed. I was at the customer site sitting there waiting for the security guard to clear me. And I'm laughing at this comment.
Did you actually make your video?
No, I did not make a video.
Oh. You just go to the, you know how it works, right?
I don't think you have a choice. I think it publishes anyway. If I could make a movie and not share it to everybody, because everybody's getting kind of sick of those things.
Yeah, maybe. Actually, I think I made it, and then it gave me the option to share it because I changed the text on mine.
Oh.
So I said, hey, everybody else is doing it. Might as well, too. Yeah. Actually, you know what? Speaking of that, actually, Google did it like you just said. Well, it was around the end of the year. I think I got mine afterwards, but they sent me, I got a notification from Google Plus on my phone, and it was the auto awesome video.
Yes.
And I clicked it, and there was the 2013. It was a little longer than a minute, maybe not much, but it did the same kind of thing with pictures I've been posting and stuff. It was automatic, and I could just download it or not share it, but I I don't even think I shared mine. Or did I? I did show my wife though.
I didn't see it. So if you shared it, I didn't see it. But anyway.
Yeah.
Let's get on with these crazy stories. We have a story from Gizmodo. There's now a Lego.gizmodo.com. I found that fascinating in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
But to go along with the theme of the Lego movie, we have a man who made a 7-foot Lego Halo spaceship, and it took him 4 years to build.
God, goodness.
This is the spaceship. What is the name of this thing from Lego? Where is it? It's in here. What's it called?
Spirit of Fire.
CFE-88. It's a funny font. But this thing is incredibly detailed. This is a series of pictures, so we apologize if you're on the audio podcast. But Kelso writes that he got the idea to build his Lego ship, which he made an acronym, SHIP, significantly huge investment in parts is what he uses for the word ship. 4 years ago, he said it was one of the most challenging endeavors of his life, but says, quote, I won't bore you with the details. Ugh, I want details.
I know. You know what? I was reading that and I thought, what's the point in talking about it? I want to know.
Brick by brick. It took a long time. I'm wondering if you're making a specialized thing like this, where do you get pieces and parts for like the cannons? Is he making this stuff? I always wonder that stuff. Cause this isn't just like made out of solid, regular old bricks. There's specialized parts in here.
Yeah, there's a way to do that. Actually, if you use the website, you can special order parts. You can build them on the website and order it as a kit. Not that he did it with this, because this is a little involved, but, you know, if I made Homer Simpson's car,
yeah,
I can go in and build it on the website with the pieces and order that kit.
How much does it cost to build this 7-foot ship, he wondered.
Oh, yes, I wonder.
I don't know. Let's go click through the link to brothersbrick.com, see if there's any money involved here. Nope.
He's probably embarrassed to say.
There's a gallery, first work in progress pictures. Well, Herculean effort it is. Very impressive, though. Very impressive. There's a CGI screen capture from the video game, apparently. And I was as accurately as I could from these pictures, comparing notes, and looks like he captured it pretty well. Better than I could.
What do you do with something like that once you
donate build it? Sell tickets? Yeah. I don't know. I'm a capitalist at heart, so I'd sell tickets. All
to
right.
What, your living room?
You
what?
Went on a cruise recently to Alaska, right? Last summer, was
That's
it?
Correct. Yes.
And Donna and I have been on a number of Caribbean cruises in our history. Well, Royal Caribbean is now using 80-inch HD TVs to create virtual balcony staterooms. Did you have a balcony?
Yes, I actually did. We did.
Yeah, we did too. We didn't on our very first one, and maybe not on our second one, but later ones we did, as we obviously mm-hmm. got a little more affluent. We could afford some. Well, if you can't afford them, now they're using, for those inside rooms, they're using 80-inch screens, which show a nice day outside, or maybe the night outside, or a sunrise or a sunset, and you can actually change between the bow of the ship or the stern of the ship. Now you're wondering, wait a minute, if I'm in the back and the camera's in the front, things will be out of sync. My body's going to tell me the ship is going up or down or right or left, and it won't
we're sinking. The screen's sliding down.
They've been blob. I want the underwater camera.
Yeah.
They were working with engineers from MIT and Harvard on special fiber channel delivery so it could make the experience in sync with where your room is. Because that would be really confusing. Now, your body's going to tell you also that you're moving forward or backward or whatever direction you're going, right? So if you have this thing aimed...
Yeah, your equilibrium will be messing with you.
If the ship is moving forward, obviously, but your window screen is like showing waves coming at you, that's not going to work. You'd want a webcam. Anyway, apparently there's drapes all over these screens too, in case you think you have a privacy issue.
Somebody's looking into the camera and it looks like they're looking into your room.
or one of those spiders. Spider jumps on the camera. 8-foot arachnid.
Hey, you wake up in the morning, you open the curtains.
There's somebody else standing there with their bare butt. Craig has hacked another cruise cam, and this actually has the potential to go horribly wrong.
Well, my first thought, actually, when I thought about this, I was like, okay, this obviously it sounds a little stupid to me. To think, I guess to get a video feed from the actually outside, but why don't you just take this a step further and, you could probably just
stereo sound.
I mean, you could probably just afford an 80-inch screen if you don't take the vacation, buy one of those and stick it on your window and put whatever picture you want. So it looks like you're in the Alps, from your window.
I had that idea to put a big screen behind me and then, put like Mount Fuji or something. This is Chuck from Tokyo.
It's windy out here.
Well, yeah, they're going to need fan and salt breeze going in your room pretty soon with the, aromatherapy. And then they'd need the stereo system to make it sound like you actually have a balcony room.
Well, what's wrong? Look at this. So they got this nice screen out the window. Neither of them are appreciating it. He's watching TV and she's on the internet.
Money well spent. Speaking of money well spent, back in the day, 30 years ago, when all we had was MS-DOS, NSC command prompt, it was still possible to make synth music. Here, I got to play some of this for you. This is kind of cool.
Yeah, do it. Do it. I dare you.
This is actually made using Adlib Tracker 2, an MS-DOS program, which sequences the Yamaha OPL3 chip. Sounds like it's from Tron.
Somebody fired up the light cycle.
it's a Harley. Now that would be cool. Let's make a mod of the Tron light cycle that looks more like a Harley. Or one of those things from Jesse James with the ape hangers.
We should redo the music. Yeah. We should redo the music on the show and see if we can use this.
Ooh, Hit it! I'm digging this. It's kind of cool. Hey,
it's a rave.
Now, you gotta see the screen to appreciate this. It looks more like assembly language. There's like what instruments and what notes and how long to hold them, and the screen is just flying by. Really kind of cool. This sounds very 80s here.
Yeah. And now, top of the charts. That's pretty cool.
Fresh off his hit from Axel F. Beverly Hills Cop was just on the other night. That's how I remember that.
That's funny.
And on that note, we are going to take a break.
Hey, on that note.
That's twice you got me.
Hey, I can do this all day.
What about the weather? I'm here all night, people. Tip your server, but make sure your admin has a backup first.
Oh. Yeah. Tip your server.
Make sure it's a virtual server. We're going to take a break, and we will be back with Remember When? The Media Corner and the Geek Library. And hey, I didn't tell you, but show 400 is coming up soon.
Really? You didn't tell me that?
Yeah. If you want to send us a message, you can call us on the listener line, 206-222-2428. That's 206-222-CHAT. Leave us a message, you know, even if it's just, hey, happy 400th show. Email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. This is your chance. You know, we don't come across 100 shows every, you know, very often. It's been almost 3 years.
Hey, it's only happened 4 times.
3 before this.
Yeah, that's right.
Time was when we could crank out 100 shows in under 6 months. Now it takes us 3 years.
It's tough business. It's a tough business.
Is this song almost over?
Yeah, go ahead and cut it.
We got 26 seconds left. I'm kind of digging the ending of this.
All right.
Let's just have a dance party. You can fix it in post if you want.
Yeah. A dance party. The Technorama dance party.
We're preparing. This will be our 400th show music.
There you go.
Thank you, and we'll be right back. He's hacking.
During the school day, I would spend like 8 hours still on that once I got home.
So that's what happened.
That stunted my growth.
Run it by me again, I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, I mean, nothing really could shine a light at that.
Sounds more like an antiperspirant to me. What's it about? What text editors do you use?
Wait a minute.
Is that enough time to take a drink of water? If so, post facto?
It's my birthday, so I might as well give something away to balance out the presents I will get.
He had a voice upgrade.
That was before the upgrade.
Have you used that?
I have not, no.
This is how the professionals do it, folks.
Hey, this is Colin Ferguson from Sci-Fi's Eureka. I play Sheriff Jack Carter. And now back to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
You know, this music is rather appropriate.
Is it?
Yeah, because it reminds me of the Jetsons. And the Jetsons, like Star Trek, 50 years ago, they were predicting the future.
Although, well, my first thought was, wow, the Jetsons are 50 years old?
Rosie!
Yeah.
What was the maintenance guy's name?
Oh, God.
Henry,
yes.
What was Henry's robot's name?
Henry's robot?
Remember it looked like a file cabinet?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't remember.
Anyway, he had the hots for Rosie. I always wanted one called Uniblab. Well, the Jetsons. I thought Uniblab was cool.
It is cool.
The Jetsons was one of the most important cartoons of all time. Well, that's debatable. Having helped shape the way that we talk about the future here in the 21st century, the show predicted many of the technologies we have today, like the Seattle Space Needle. And this week, Americans can check another crazy Jetsonian prediction off the list. After 9 long years, the FDA recently approved the swallowable pill cam. Developed in Israel, the pill cam is used as a way to examine a patient's colon without colonoscopy. The patient swallows the small device, and it slowly makes its way through the digestive tract in about 8 hours. The information is beamed to a receiver device carried on the patient's waist, and the doctor can then review the results later. Fast forward where appropriate. It's like a TiVo.
Yeah, TiVo.
Here comes the lower intestine.
Yeah.
In December 30th, 1962, the episode of The Jetsons featured a device that was strikingly similar, even if it was admittedly an over-the-top joke. The peekaboo capsule is swallowed by George, or more accurately, shot into his mouth and starts
shot
his journey
his mouth.
Through his body. Oh, speaking of shot in his mouth, I was listening to an old Dick Tracy episode, and they were talking about puffed wheat and puffed rice and how it's shot out of a gun. Like, what? They're making a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw a video for that.
Wow, I'm going to have to watch that.
Yeah. I was just, you know what this reminded me of? I was just looking it up. You could probably see it in the video. I was looking up Dennis Quaid movies, because remember Inner Space?
Where I don't remember that.
It was like one of the Fantastic Voyage, you know, where they shrank him down and stuck him in a body.
Huh.
You don't remember that?
Fantastic Journey?
No, Inner Space.
Oh, Inner Space. The Jetsons, Rosie's boyfriend. Let's see.
Oh, by the way, Henry's robot's name was Mac.
Mac, that's what it is.
Yes, I did look it up, honestly.
Thank you. I was just looking it up also. We're not very good with the memory. It's
thanks,
tough
Wikipedia.
Getting old.
Thanks, Wikipedia.
I was looking through IMDb, but okay.
Beep, beep.
And
they
of course.
Give, they don't give credits for non-speaking parts.
Bing, bing. Rosie, Rosie. Anyway. And yeah. Also one of our favorite predictor television shows, Star Trek. The stuff they predicted, we're all familiar with, of course, how communicators became flip phones and some of those other ones. Well, there's more. There's a video over here through the show notes that talks about medical tricorders are now realistic. You can attach this device to the side of your head and it will show up on your cell phone as your pulse and your respiration and your oxygenation and oximeter. So lots of different things you can do there. And of course, the food replicator is now available as a 3D food printer, although not quite as fast.
Yeah, that's right.
You can now make pizza in space.
It's happening.
It's happening.
And yeah, they got the flip phone, Bluetooth headsets, 3D chess, iPad.
The iPad.
Of course. Hey, I still don't have my mouse I can talk into, though.
Now they were saying Google Glass came from Deep Space Nine.
That's one of the pictures they had on there. That's right.
I stand to argue that heads up displays have been conceived and worked on before that. It's not a Google Glass thing that is 20 years later. When I was an engineer or an IT manager for our engineering department in my former job, they were working on some heads up displays in the early to mid 90s as well. So it's not like, oh my gosh, look what came along 20 years later. So that one kind of bothered me that they were a little slow on the uptake.
Yeah, I've seen that. Seems like I've always seen that kind of iteration for that kind of, or, you know, thoughts for this kind of thing. So it seems only natural. The tricorders, of course, medical stuff. There's all kinds of stuff. Like I said a minute ago, I still don't have my mouse I can talk into, though.
Oh, we got Siri.
Yeah.
And without that, there wouldn't be damnyouautocorrect.com.
That's right. Actually, you know, Google Now has been kind of the inspiration for the Star Trek computer has been the inspiration for Google Now, you know, the speech and everything, and even some of the searching technologies that Google has.
Google,
they want to be able to ask the questions. And
I think some of these people have been sneaking a peek at the future.
Sneaking a peek at the future.
Speaking of the future.
Hey, Roddenberry sold his soul to the devil so he could get the answers. Anytime.
Speaking of the future.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
We have word that Back to the Future musical may be opening up next year. Hip, hip, hooray. I can only imagine what they're going to do with songs for this thing. A live-action musical of Back to the Future is coming to London's West End next year, with a possible Broadway run if it proves successful enough. And how could you not? You think there's going to be a real-life DeLorean on stage or just a cardboard cutout? The film's original screenwriters, Robert Zemeckis and Bob Gale, have teamed with British director Jamie Lloyd to write the book. They've also tapped Alan Silvestri to compose the music and Grammy-winning songwriter Glenn Ballard. Alanis Morissette, Michael Jackson, that's who Glenn Ballard is associated with, to write the lyrics. Silvestri has scored many of Zemeckis' well-known films, including Romancing the Stone, Forrest Gump, and Castaway. I saw a license plate the other day that said Forrest Run, only it was like F. It was a number four, E-S-T, Run.
That's funny.
I thought that was pretty creative, although I would have made it Run Forrest. But.
You still got your podcast one?
My what?
Your podcast one?
Yes, I still have a podcast license plate.
I guess you'll be having to try and get that one in Arizona.
Well, you know who has it or had it? I actually found this out at Christmas time. You know who had the Arizona license plate?
Evo?
Evo.
Yeah.
And I asked him. We went out with Lisa and I went out with Sheila and Evo and said, well, I guess I won't be getting the Arizona license plate. He says, oh, actually, it's available. So now I want to write my
Did they throw words like that back in the pool?
What's that?
Once somebody does not have it anymore.
I think they do. So my renewal is coming up in May. I'm going to have to try and nab that one. I don't know what they charge, but since their property taxes are less, I'm hoping their vehicle taxes are less too.
Maybe.
Maybe. We'll see.
I'm curious to see the kind of songs that come out of this, Back to the Future thing. Doc Brown, I came back from the future.
I am your density, 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 density.
I am your density, density, density.
Biff, 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 biff.
Yeah. Fight, fight.
That's
fight.
Why we're not doing the score.
Yeah, and again,
you know,
I can see everybody's dancing around the car. Fight, fight, fight. You know, and he punched them out. Anyway.
I hate manure.
Dret.
Screen door on a battleship.
Actually, what'd they say? Robert Zemeckis and Bob Gale actually wanted to do this for a long time. I'm like, really?
Wow.
I would have never even thought of doing a musical to Back to the Future. Okay.
Have you ever watched Gallagher?
Yes, I have.
Comedian. I believe it was him who said, you know, God has a sense of humor. Why else would he put the nose right above the mouth? I mean, it just sits there and drips all day.
Yeah.
Well, we have a list of other most unfortunate design flaws of the human body. And the list is interesting, like the dual function of the pharynx, which is a common cause for choking because humans have to share the same passageway for ingestion and respiration, and sometimes it becomes obstructed and you choke and die.
Yes, I've often thought about that. Why is that?
There's also things like the close proximity of our genitals to our rectum. As the character Daryl quipped in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, let me just say that if God was a city planner, he would not put a playground next to a sewage system.
Hey. Luckily, you don't have those parts of your body aren't near your nose.
mouth.
There's a reason why they're at the farther part of your body.
There's other things like, and it's interesting because some of this stuff is actually backed up by science. Our overloaded lower backs. We were not meant to stack our vertebrae the way we do until we became bipedal. Because when we roamed around the trees, this wasn't a problem. But Now that we're bipedal, we're upright and our back has to curve in an S shape, we wind up with a lot of lower back problems. I included. Also includes achy knees, hip problems.
Well, a lot of that comes from the evolution of McDonald's as well.
No. That's a little further down below under behavioral mm-hmm. characteristics. Our fondness for sweet, salty, and fatty foods. I like this. Our bodies need sugar, salt, and fat, just not in extreme quantities. But in the state yeah. of nature, those foods are often scarce or difficult to preserve. That's why we find these foods so unreasonably delicious and irresistible. It's our body's way of saying, yo, eat this stuff while you can. It's good for you.
You sound like the basketball team on Futurama. Yo, doctor.
Why don't you understand basic physics? But most of us... Did somebody just say, too late, hot plate?
Too late, hot plate.
But most of us just now live in a world with a tremendous abundance where we consume these foods in ridiculous quantities, leading to all sorts of modern health problems. There's also mm-hmm. things like tribalism. A number of cognitive biases, which leads to, I mean, back when we lived in small clans, these things made sense. It gave us a sense of bonding and a way of keeping the bad guys out. Now it's causing things like racism. It's unbelievable. Great article, by the way. If you get a chance to read this, it's over at io9.com. Go through the show notes and read it. I like this one. Our inefficient sinuses, I should say. Humans have several sinuses, air-filled cavities that help with the drainage of mucus and fluid. Mm-mm. But our maxillary sinuses, the ones that are located right behind the cheekbone, they drain upwards. And this often leads to a buildup of fluids and mucus, which causes an infection. Great design.
Well, just stand on your head.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever had a head cold and stand on your head? Oh.
No, I don't think I've tried that one.
Feels like a vice, man. Don't do it. It's yeah. one of those colds where you just want to take like an 1/8-inch drill bit and go right in under your eye and go.
Oh, that's much better.
Right. I'm sure that would feel terrific. Couldn't hurt yeah. worse than the high pressure 3000 PSI backing up behind my face. Anyway.
Hey, and there's nothing like descending in a plane with a head cold.
Have you ever tried scuba diving with a sinus infection? Yeah,
I'm sure
it's about 6 feet down and that's yeah. the end.
I remember I went to California once and on the way back, I got in a cold started kicking in before I left. So by the time I got on the plane, I was pretty bad off. Well, we go up in the plane. It wasn't that bad. I don't remember going up, but coming down,
right.
I felt like an alien was going to pop out of my head.
That's because the pressure decreases when you go up and increases when you right. go back down.
Mm-hmm.
Don't well, you ever like drink a water bottle and you watch it go, it gets crushed yeah. on the descent.
Yeah, it was terrible. Well, that's the way my head felt.
Getting crushed?
Felt like it. I felt like it was just going to poof, blow up. Like I said, an alien was going to pop out of my forehead.
And thank you, terrible. Meth Labs, for not being able to sell a Sudafed with real active ingredients anymore.
Yes, thank you. That yeah. fake stuff doesn't work.
Ruined it for the rest of us.
Yeah.
And since we've digressed into bodily fluids, I think that means we're at the end of the show, right?
Are we? Actually,
when we get into gross stuff, things you shouldn't be talking yeah. about at the dinner table, that's the time for Technorama to end.
By the way, I noted this, and so did Mad Mar, if he sent a note over. That the red shirts.
Oh yes, I
is
saw
getting
that.
A TV show. It's getting a TV show.
Yes, red yeah, shirts so. By John Scalzi, one of the books we recommended and read a while back.
yeah, it was good stuff.
Yeah,
so
interesting.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm curious to see how they're going to turn that into a show or a series.
Yeah, so I'm myself included. So I think the pilot should be coming soon, and. So maybe we should all know, maybe in the fall. You know what else is coming also is to accompany the show Arrow is Flash.
Really?
Yeah, so hopefully we'll get a pilot for that as well soon.
Have you been watching Arrow?
No, I just started trying to catch up on it with Netflix.
All right, so. Season 1 was pretty good. I'm thinking season 2 is moving a little slower. Mm-hmm. But they're trying to build more character depth and stuff, so come on.
Well, they do introduce Barry Allen in Arrow, in the season, in the second season, but which is kind of supposed to spin off into the Flash. So I'm curious to see how they do the Flash, because you know, you gotta have some special effects where I'm running around and stuff.
Second season of The Following is also starting out pretty good, although they're getting a bit gratuitous on the killing. It just seemed like last week was just, oh, there's a person, stab him in the head. Oh, there's a person, shoot him in the face. Oh, there's a person. It's like, it was almost like The Walking Dead, where everybody who wasn't one of the main characters was a zombie and they just died.
Yeah. Mm. So yeah, it was just done.
It was getting a little overdone. So I'm hoping they get out of that rut soon.
Yeah. And by the way, I've also been making my way through through the seasons of Chuck on it's on Netflix now, the NBC show.
Oh, okay.
Chuck.
Cool.
So I'm actually into season 4 now. And it's funny, you know, you look at it when it starts out, you can see his hairstyle has matured.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, he looked like a real...
He looked raggedy at the beginning.
Exactly.
And each year he's looked more adult-like, yep. Which I'm sure that was planned in some fashion.
Yeah.
So, but it's fun to watch. It was so much fun to watch, especially the first couple of seasons, because it had been so long since we've seen those, you know, because mm-hmm. I never saw it in reruns. The show was over, and those were five or six years old at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, so I was like, oh, yeah, I kind of remember that. Oh, yeah, I remember that. And some of the bigger arcs I remember. But it was kind of neat to kind of revisit all that again.
And then to see Sarah on Dexter was kind of fun, too. But anyway, I won't
not,
ruin that.
I've not watched
you.
Dexter. I knew she was on it. There. Oh, dude, she's going to be in 24 as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Yvonne.
All right, we gotta wrap this up. Don't forget, we reminded you that show 400 is coming up soon. Send us your voicemail. We've got a few weeks left. Get them to us by March 5th. I'm anticipating we're going to record that somewhere between the 5th and the 12th, whatever that... Well, let's see. Since February and March line up, that would mean we record at the 9th. Yes, March 9th is my target date for recording show number 400. So get us those voicemails, those emails. You can call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT, 206-222-2428. Send us email at technorama@chuckchat.com. All this information and much more is available over at chuckchat.com.
Hey, Chuck, we should let everybody know we're not recording on February 29th, 30th, or 31st.
February 31st is right out. Right?
What?
February 31st is right out.
Right out?
Monty Python reference.
Yeah. Okay.
Three shall be the count, and the count shall be three. Five is right out. So I was doing that in my workshop last week. I was going through this two-day workshop. And the second day, we actually got to meet in person, because I mentioned that the first day was all snow day, working remote from the FedEx office. But second day, I got to meet a lot of these people face-to-face, and I was throwing back movie references at them.
That's like, funny.
Testing out your data, putting in negative numbers into date fields. And I went, bad dates. Oh!
Bad dates.
Reference.
That's right.
Indiana Jones reference, and I was doing Star Wars references and all kinds of things. Anyway! Thanks for joining us. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama and give me a binary high five.
101.
Where's the kryptonite?